Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Overnight Success Podcast, brought to you by Maria Hatzistefanis. Maria is the founder of Rodial and Nip and Fab, best-selling author, and on a mission to help you achieve your dreams. Maria's highly anticipated third book, How to Live Your Best Life, is now available on Amazon.
Hi everyone, I'm Maria and I'm here with Liv.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. How's it going?
It's all great. I'm very excited because today we are talking about my favorite topic, which is
social media. I'm excited about talking to you about this because I know it's something, as of reading your book, I mean, it's something that's kind of is such a huge part of your life and your business. Mm. And for me, it's something that I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with. I mean, sometimes I adore it and I can't remember life without it. And sometimes it makes me want to just like throw my phone out my window. But the thing is, even when I hate it, I know how important it is. I know for a fact it's been a really important thing for you and what you do. So I wanted to know what was, if you can remember the first time you came into contact with social media and what were your first thoughts on it when it first arrived?
Yeah, well, social media has been a process for me. I first came across Facebook. So I know there was MySpace before that, but I don't know what would people talking about MySpace.
Indie
so
bands.
Anyway, well, yeah, we'll move on to the more commercial platform, you know, when everyone started talking about Facebook. And I set up an account and I hated it because I've had people who I known since I was 10 years old and I've lost touch forever connecting with me and then were posting all their like family pictures and their kids' pictures. And I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I don't have time for that. So, you know, after a while, I just didn't see the need for me. You know, I have enough, you know, people at work and enough connections. I didn't need more friends. And so I know that's really
say
hard
like
to
it
say,
is, yeah.
But and then I removed my account on Facebook and I said, you know what, I have too much going on in my life right now. So then Twitter came up and I got really excited about Twitter. When I heard this is a brand new platform, everyone was talking about Twitter. And the fact that you just had 140 characters, I love that because I'm really good with words. I do like to craft a sentence or I'm a bit ironic sometimes or I want to be funny. And for me, just 140 characters is the best way to communicate. No pictures involved, you know, no pictures of the kids or families or, you know, drinks with friends. Like, I don't care about all that. So I started using it for work and I was posting things that I was doing. Like, you know, I'm just about to miss a flight or this cool thing is happening at Rodial. And it was super interesting. And then I was getting into it and following people and I got followed back. And one day I was having lunch with a girlfriend of mine and she said, Maria, are you on Instagram? And I'm like, what's Instagram? It's an amazing platform and everyone who's in fashion and beauty is there. You have to be there. So I said, you know, show me how it works. And I got in there and I saw that you have to be posting pictures. Mm. And I was like, what are you talking about? Where do you even get all those pictures? This is a massive commitment. You know, I'm happy with Twitter. It's just words. I can type things. I don't know about this Instagram. But anyway, I got on it and I started following people without having anything on my account. Now, it was interesting because a lot of people asked me why I named my account at Mrs. Rodial. And, you know, obviously my name, Maria Hatzistefanis. I mean, how do you even spell that? and how would even people, everyone spells it wrong. So I said, let me just save a lot of people a lot of effort and a lot of typos and just come up with a name that people will remember. So I have the company, Rodial, you know, Mrs. Rodial, I represent mm-hmm. the brand. So that's easy to remember. And it tells a little bit about who I am and my background. So yeah. I called it Mrs. Rodial just, you know, to avoid having the Hatzistefanis in there. And that's how it started. And at the beginning, I was really awkward. So if you go into my first pictures, you know, the quality is just not that great. And yeah. I didn't even know what I was doing. So just posting random things, a product, I don't know, like I don't know, whatever, like a picture of London, like a sunset. I don't know what I was posting.
Oh, not a London sunset.
I don't Maria. Know. Maybe not a sunset. No, maybe not a sunset, but I wasn't that proud of those pictures. And then, I've been growing this account for 5 years and now I'm so much into Instagram. I have been over the last few years and it's part of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of in all of our lives. Well, anyone who uses it, which is kind of everyone, it's a big part of how we spend our time and, you know, wandering around thinking about things we can maybe post about or just, I don't know, just thinking about, it's kind of infiltrated our lives in such a kind of, in a way that we can never have predicted. And, you know, that's why I've got a problem with it sometimes, but also I love it. Like, I love going on it and I love when I've got 5 minutes to spare, like when I'm waiting for a bus on this, so I can just go on it and like look at everything and like, I adore it. But I do find that I spend too much time on it. And I wanted to ask you, how much time do you spend on it? Is it maybe too much? Are you quite strict with how much time you spend on it?
A couple of years ago, I was at my peak of the amount of time I was spending on Instagram to the point that my husband was complaining. My kids were like, you're on your phone all the time. It wasn't good. I was overdoing it. I was obsessed. But now I'm at the point that I feel I'm into it, but I just spend the amount of time that I need to spend and nothing more, which for me is usually 1 hour a day. And what I do is I would either spend an hour in the morning after I wake up and have my coffee or after I worked out, I would sit down and check my feed and check the news. I want to know what's going on, if there's any news that I need to be aware of or any updates from the people I follow. And then I post my picture, I do my likes, I do my comments, I respond to some of the comments that have been left to my posts. And I generally give it about an hour. It's usually first thing in the morning, I get it done and then I'm probably done for the day. And I may check it for, I don't know, 15 minutes in the evening, but that's it. I'm very, very strict with that. Now, on a day that I cannot really fit in that hour in the morning, what I would do is I would try to find times that it's a dead time, which could be I'm in a taxi, I'm in a car journey, going somewhere, and I'm in a car for half an hour. I would use that half an hour to go and get some work done on Instagram. Let's say I'm waiting for a doctor's appointment, or if I'm at the airport waiting for my flight, you know, this is
dead time.
This is dead time. So if I know that dead time is coming up at some point, I would use my 1 hour in the morning for something else and use that time to get into it. But I'm quite structured and I never go over an hour a day. That's my maximum.
Even that sounds like a lot, but I bet if I added up all the time that I'm on it all day, I reckon it would be more than that. Because I kind of check it intermittently throughout the day. But I think the way you're doing it, just checking it in the morning for an hour is probably the best way. Because there's only so much news you need, right? Like, you don't need to keep checking the news every hour.
Yeah. I mean, don't forget that I'm at the office all day. I have important meetings. I cannot be in between meetings checking my Instagram. And I even, it's not that I even don't want to be seen as I'm checking my Instagram all day. I just, I'm not in the mental state to be able to, I need to focus on my work, my team, my meetings, my day-to-day job, which is not Instagram, and then find some pockets of time throughout, you know, my dead time or in the morning to get that Instagram work done.
Yeah, so important. Cool. So are there any other of the social media platforms that you like, or do you ever check any of them out or give them a go or anything like that?
You know, that's a good question. And I get asked a lot from people who want to grow their social following, or they have, they're starting a business and they want to be on social media. I just feel that in general, you need to be focusing on the platform that speaks to you most. I think unless your job is social media and you have the whole day to be checking and be active on different platforms, I think you just have to pick one platform and be good at it. So there was a point that Snapchat was getting really big and everyone thought it was going to take over Instagram. But then Instagram got really smart and they launched Instagram Stories. And then everyone moved away from Snapchat because you had that video live kind of more real life effect. So I mainly focus on Instagram. I do occasionally check Twitter because a lot of people connect with me following my book or leave me comments and I like to read them and respond. And then the platform that people will be surprised that I'm really very rarely on is YouTube. I don't really care much about YouTube. I mean, you know, I don't know. I know my kids, they're on it all the time when they have free time and they follow certain people and they're on the gaming sites all the time. But I just don't find it. There's nothing for me in there. So I would go if I'm researching something. So I had a PRK surgery last year for my eyes, and I was in there just checking out people who've done it and videos, or, you know, when I had my eyebrows microbladed, I was on there for hours researching what people said. And
what's microbladed?
Microblading is when it's something like a semi-permanent tattoo for your eyebrows.
Oh, wow.
It sounds really horrible, but it's actually quite natural.
Something you definitely want to do some research into before
exactly,
you go.
Exactly, yes. So there's a few things that I would go to when I'm looking for something and I want to research, but I'm definitely not on YouTube. It's not a platform that is of interest to me. I get it all from Instagram.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you're right. I mean, YouTube is just good for going and looking at old Spice Girls concerts.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
do you spend time on YouTube at all?
I don't use it. As you say, I don't like use, I don't follow people or like make playlists or anything, but if I just go and quickly have a look at like, you know, like a very short interview with Kate Moss, because I want to see that, I'll find myself in like a good like 2 hour hole of searching
okay.
for stuff.
Okay.
That's why I don't go on it, because I'm too scared that I'll lose half my day on it, because I'll just go from video to video just watching stuff that I don't need to be watching. Like, I found myself watching the first episode of Big Brother in the year 2000 the other day. But I actually ended up writing an article about that, so it was fine. But that was like hours of my time just watching Big Brother from 20 years ago for no reason.
Hours that you're never going to get back.
But often, yeah, exactly, exactly. But often that research, it's kind of, it's things that I find interesting. So then I'll kind of think, oh, I should pitch that to a magazine because I want to write about it. So it kind of sometimes.
Okay.
Not if it's like, you know, funny dog food adverts from the 80s, which I like as well. You know, just stuff like that. But anyway, I wanted to know how you go about like planning your social media content? Do you have a kind of like a timetable or a structure, or how do you do it?
Well, what I do, I like to post a mix of fashion pictures, outfit of the day. I would batch shoot and do a few looks once every couple of months. So that gives me a bank of beautiful pictures that I can spread across a couple of months.
So what do you mean by that? Do you mean you're going out within and you have lots of different outfits and you're kind of...
I would take 2 hours in one day, and I work with a photographer, and we will shoot different looks.
That's such a good idea.
And I have the pictures, and then I don't need to worry about having good quality pictures done all the time, because I have them, they're on my phone. And then depending on the day, depending on what my message is, I would post them. I would talk about how I put the look together. A lot of my followers do care about fashion, so mm-hmm. they're always asking me questions. How do you combine this? Where'd you get that? So I do have a nice little community of people and friends and bloggers who will follow each other, and we talk about fashion. Then I would post, if my makeup is good and the light is good, I would take a selfie. When we have a new product launch, I would post about the product and talk about how I created it. When something interesting is happening in the business, which could be we're doing a major launch or a press event, or I'm doing a Q&A at a conference. So I would talk about that. And I do try to balance it. So there's a bit of fashion, a bit of business, a bit of work, a bit of fun, and a bunch of selfies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a big bunch of selfies.
Yeah. How about you? What do you like to post?
I've sort of gone off it recently. I've gone off Instagram posting for a while. I don't know why. I think I don't really prepare. So I just wait until something fun happens and then I'll put it out. But I think your way of doing things in a batch is better. Like also... sometimes I want to just post about like a book that I'm reading or a record that I'm listening to, but sometimes I get really worried that people are going to think that I'm like bragging about like, oh, she reads loads of books, or like, oh, look, I get sometimes quite nervous that people are thinking that I'm like trying to portray myself as something that I'm not, even though I would never like lie on there and be like, oh, because I know that's kind of what it's all about as well. It's like people portraying their best life. And I get that. Yeah. And I understand that.
Yeah.
So sometimes I quite like to photograph things, you know, like a really full bin on the street and be like, that's me on a Sunday, or like, you know, like kind of
real life,
but kind of taking the piss. I think I'm more comfortable if I'm being self-deprecating than I am being like, my life's amazing, because I do actually think I have an amazing life, but I don't want to like be seen to be bragging about it. It's a tricky one. I think I need to get more of a strategy together. And it's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, some posts that you think are going to do really well, they just flop. Even if you put them up at like 6 p.m. on a Thursday, they still just don't. And then some posts that you think is just like a kind of throwaway, like, oh, whatever, I'll just put that up. Who cares? They get like all the likes and you're like, what? But okay.
Yeah, you just don't know. You just don't know what's going to do well. Things have changed with Instagram. It used to be that a lot of highly stylized and edited pictures were the most popular, and now people want to see real people and something that's not as perfect. I posted the other day, I was at 10 Downing Street.
And oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. So I posted a picture that I got someone out there to take of me outside that door, number 10. And it was out of focus. I mean, I looked fine, but it wasn't one of my best pictures from a professional photographer.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how I was going to do. Neither do I care how it's going to do. I just post it out there and whatever happens. And that was super popular. I never thought about it. I had so much better pictures the days before. But that one, somehow, it was real. It was sort of a big thing being where I was. And people got really excited with it.
Well, when I saw you post that photo, I thought it was really sweet because you just looked really happy and pleased. And you were just like outside number 10 Downing Street, like a little bit cheeky. And I think everyone liked it because it's like, yay, like it was you just kind of, I don't know, it was a really sweet moment of you being excited. And also you were celebrating something. I think that's the post that do best for me is when I'm saying, oh, I've just been featured in this magazine, or I've just interviewed this person. And everyone's like doing the well done likes. Yeah. I think the well done likes are always like the huge ones. Everyone just kind of supporting you.
Yeah.
Rather than you just like showing off about your breakfast or your holiday and everyone's like, well, good for you. I'm not going to like that. Yeah. You know, it's kind of, yeah, you know, it has to be something that everyone can get behind.
Yeah.
And say like, yeah, I'm into that. Perfect. You outside 10 Downing Street is just, it'll be the Queen next. You could do one with the Queen.
Yeah.
One day. So what kind of accounts do you follow? I imagine it's probably mostly fashion accounts, or am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm into fashion a lot, and I do get probably 95% of my fashion inspiration comes from Instagram. I follow people whose style I love, and sometimes they're just normal people. They're not, it's not even their job, but I love the way they put things together, what they choose. So yeah, a lot of it is that. I also, and don't judge me, I love meme accounts. I am dying for memes. There is a couple of meme people from New York that I am obsessed with, and I cannot wait because they post on American time. So the first thing I do when I wake up is check their accounts, what they posted, and I'm just, they're hilarious. I just love them.
I didn't know you were going to say that. It's really, yeah, made me laugh.
Yeah.
Everyone likes memes.
Everyone likes memes.
You can't not. And that's so like the only good thing about Instagram is memes, because it's not like, it doesn't make me anxious.
Yeah, they're the best. So I check those, and then some of my friends, celebrities that I've met in the past, and makeup artists that I'm friends with. Mm. And that's all.
Yeah, that's great. I suppose a lot of people find the aspirational nature, as we just sort of touched on, about holidays and you know, fitness and selfies and filters. They find it kind of, it makes them a bit anxious. I mean, I know I go through stages where I feel anxious by social media, but I think I've got ways of handling it now. But does social media and like the kind of constant nature of it just ever stress you out?
I guess you have to be very selective with the accounts that you follow. And I've read this the other day and it really resonated with me, and I've been doing it, but it just, someone said it more eloquently, that if a certain account that you follow makes you feel anxious or inadequate or brings out your insecurities, just unfollow.
So simple.
Just unfollow. You don't have to feed your brain with things that are not healthy for you. So if something just puts you in a uncomfortable situation, just unfollow, and only follow accounts that bring you joy and make you happy. But then, you know, sometimes even if you do follow the accounts that bring you joy, there's times that everything out there stresses you out. Like, let's say everyone's on holiday and you're in London working, and you're like, what is going on? Am I the only person in the world that's not on an exotic location right now? So, you know, those times, or if it gets too much, just take a day off and I'm not on Instagram. But I never really let Instagram affect me. And it's everyone can select, and everyone can make a choice. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Unfollow if it's making you feel bad.
Yeah.
Very simple, isn't it?
Mm.
And this is something I really want to know. I want to know who is the one, or maybe two accounts, that you can't resist just absolutely stalking. Everyone's got one.
Well, no one really. I don't have time for that, but I have a lot of stalkers myself. And you will be surprised to hear who are my stalkers. A lot of my ex-employees.
Really?
This is really crazy. And people will be surprised when they listen to this. But you know Instagram stories.
Mm-hmm.
It has a certain algorithm. So when someone checks your stories more frequently, or checks your stories as soon as they're up, they come to the top of the list. So, you know, when you post a story and then you see who has watched the story, the people who are on top of the list are your most fanatic followers, that they open it immediately, they read all your stories, and they come up. And all my ex-employees, you know, I have thousands of people checking out my stories. All my ex-employees are up there. And, you know, at some point it was bothering me, and I was talking to someone at the office, and I said, what's the problem? Like, you know, they moved on. Why do I still have to entertain them? Like, that was like, yeah, it was annoying me. You know, you've left, you're somewhere else. Like, stalk your current boss, not me. But I don't know, they have an obsession, but I think they're probably going to listen to this and freak out that I know that they're still following me and stalking me.
Unless it's something about they're so in your contacts because you probably spoke to them so much through other platforms when they were employees that now they just seem to be
No,
your...
I didn't.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
They just stalk me. So let's accept that. Yeah.
Let's accept that they're stalkers. Okay, fair enough. But there isn't any celebrity that you are always like, have a quick look here.
I mean, you know, I think stalking means that you check someone out in secret. And that means that you don't openly follow them, or if you follow them, you never like them.
Okay.
Stalking is checking what they do without being visible.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do follow a lot of interesting people and celebrities and
check
what they do.
Yeah, stalking.
But whatever I do openly. So I do, I check out their stories, but I also like their pictures. So I'm not silent.
Yeah.
I'm out there.
Always best just to be honest by your stalking.
Yeah.
I've been trying to work out if this celebrity couple is still together for years now.
So is this who you stalk?
Sometimes, basically, you know, the model, Lucky Blue Smith, he's got lovely blue eyes.
Yeah.
He had a baby with a beautiful woman called Stormy, who's a skateboarder, and she's a model too. And they had a beautiful baby together. And now I just can't work out if they're still together or not. And I'm trying to stalk them through Instagram to try and work it out. But like, why do I care? Why am I spending my time doing this?
Why? Why do you care?
I don't know. I just really like them as a couple. So I want them to be together.
Aw, that's
it's
sweet.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you're right. I'm liking stuff. So I'm not being that creepy. I mean,
you're into
what I just
you're
admitted was like quite embarrassing to
stalking
admit
that. Is like if you stalk an ex-boyfriend, let's say, without them knowing that you're checking them out. So you're doing it in secret.
But those algorithms, they're always going to reveal
you. Yeah, they'll know it. Yeah, you can't hide. It's social media, it's out there.
That's scary. In terms of people sort of starting to build their own, if it's like a young entrepreneur and they want to build, or even just a kind of freelancer who wants to build a kind of like a personal brand, how important do you think it is for people to use social media to do that?
Really important. It's a great way to tell your story. It's a great way for a new brand to put out there their point of view and show how they are different to everyone else and they have a voice. So for me, that's really exciting. I just think that new entrepreneurs need to be a little bit careful. And I have seen two mistakes that people make. One is creating an account and pushing product every single day. Especially at the beginning, you need to be telling a story rather than have a picture of your product in every single post. You need to balance it out with giving some advice, information, telling a story, entertaining. You have to find something else outside the product. And also the other mistake I've seen, there are some founders who treat their Instagram account as Facebook, you know, which is fair enough if that's what you want to do. But if you want to grow your business, maybe sharing your kids' pictures every day, unless you have a kids' range, you know, another story. It has to be relevant. Or showing you and your friends, you know, out there partying every night.
Yeah.
Like there needs to be a reason why you're posting as a brand owner, and you just have to differentiate between Instagram and Facebook. You know, if you want to post your personal pictures, go to Facebook. That's a platform. But if you are treating Instagram as a platform to grow your brand through yourself, then you really have to curate it and come up with some interesting content that's telling a story.
I think it's so true. It sticks out like a sore thumb if someone's just posting up a picture of them doing something that isn't anything to do with what you're following them for. Because you're a bit like, I didn't sign up for this. See you later.
Yeah.
And what do you think is the best way people can kind of, if they're just starting out from nothing or starting out with maybe a couple of hundred followers, but they want to build their social media following, what's the best way they can kind of gain a bunch of followers without having to resort to being naughty and buying them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, that's the $1 million question at the end of the day and the million follower question.
Yeah.
So as I say in my book, there is nothing like an overnight success. You just have to put the work. Three of my top tips: follow people that you genuinely like and build a connection with them. And it's all about creating that community of people that care about you and you care about them. And once you develop that community, then more people will join. Number two, post news and trends before anyone else and hashtag them. And I remember when Meghan and Harry got married a few months ago, and I was posting that picture first when I got it in the news, hashtagging Harry and Meghan or Meghan and Harry royal wedding. I got so many new followers. So, or if I have a new sneaker that I'm excited about and it's the new trend of the season, I would post it and hashtag it and get a whole bunch of new followers. So you do have to provide something that's unique, whether it's news, a new product, a new piece of information, and be the first to do that. And that's how you gain a lot of new followers. And then my third tip is, you just have to interact. Be nice, like the comments, respond to as many comments as you have time to, go to other accounts, leave your comments there, and just make sure that you interact. You know, Instagram is not about posting a picture and then disappearing for 3 days and hoping things will happen for you. I find that the more time that I put into this, the more interaction I get back. So as everything in life, you just have to put the work so it comes back to you.
Yeah, just putting that time in and sort of making it a sociable thing rather than, yeah, as you say, just posting a picture and then walking away, like interact with people and,
yeah,
and talk to people.
And sometimes it would be that I do have a picture to post on that day, but I'm rushing into a meeting and I know that if I post, I'm not going to be able to interact. I'm not posting it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting until I have the time later on. So when I can post it, I will be there to like some of the comments and respond and not disappear. So you have to be conscious about those things.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good way of looking at it. And what, I guess you probably have social media managers now in your company, right? Like people who are kind of helping you do this or they're helping you do strategies. What kind of, I mean, if someone out there is looking to get like a social media job or is finding themselves really good at it, what kind of qualities would you look for in hiring a social media manager?
Well, first of all, let me clarify that the Mrs. Rodial account, I manage it myself,
yeah,
100%. So there's no social media manager behind it. But we do have our two brands at Rodial Beauty and at Nip and Fab, and everyone please go and follow them. They're really cool accounts. So yes, we do have a social media manager with our business right now, and what they need is to be obsessed with social media. Mm-hmm. They need to live and breathe and really be into it. And social media needs to be their life, be very passionate. But at the same time, they also need to be commercial. It is a creative job, but there's always a sales target attached to it. And they need to be ready to deliver sales. So yes, we're looking for creativity. We're looking for someone who is into social media, but then there's a commercial element to it.
Yeah, being a little bit business-minded.
Yeah.
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 Wanting to get those likes. Hungry for the likes.
Hungry for the likes and hungry for the sales, because all those platforms right now, they have links. You have the shoppable Instagram.
Yeah.
And this is becoming another source of revenue for the business. So they need to make that happen.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And do you think it's important for everyone to kind of carve out or invent their own sort of strong tone of voice when they use social media?
For sure. Well, I don't know what others do, but I write my captions as I speak. I have the same tone of voice in my book as when I go and speak to conferences, and the same way that I would speak to you. And I want to make sure that I'm consistent. So if someone comes and meets with me, I don't want them to be like, oh, you know, she's so much different than who we think she is. And also,
yeah,
there's no pretend. You know, I'm real. This is who I am. This is how I speak. This is my tone of voice. And I want people to engage with me because they like who I genuinely am.
Yeah, for sure. That's so important. And do you get quite a lot of people, you mentioned captions earlier, you mentioned kind of being ready on social media to kind of like take in everyone's feedback and, you know, like the comments and stuff. But do you get a lot of people who just message you on Instagram via direct messages, and what kind of stuff do they ask you?
I did get a lot of comments and DMs on people who are starting their new business and are looking for advice. I get requests for mentorship. I get offered a lot of free products, which I never accept because I'm very minimalist, and also I'm very conscious about waste. I mean, I do tend to, I read almost all of my comments. I don't check my DMs as often just because I get tons of them. And then I feel if someone wants to say something, they can leave it on a comment. What I occasionally do is maybe once every couple of weeks, I'll just go through some of the latest DMs. And if there's some interesting ones, I do a public Q&A. So I want to let people out there know that beware, you know, it's social media. So even if it's DM, it may be published. So be careful of what you write.
Do you ever get any kind of people being negative to you on social media, or like horrible messages?
We all do. You know, we all have trolls here and there. But I feel that if we've come to a point that my existence makes someone so uncomfortable, I don't think I should be in their feed. So I just block them.
Mm. Yeah. I like your cutthroat strategy. Unfollow or block.
Yeah. And then have no friends. Yeah. Yeah.
You'll always have a couple. have you ever met someone through social media, like maybe someone famous or a different brand who you met online and kind of eventually formed a good working relationship or just a good friendship with?
Yeah. Well, Kylie Jenner. That's how we connected. She posted, when she was just 16 years old, she posted a picture of our Nip and Fab glycolic fix. And I got in touch with her. And it was total random. I thought, you know, I'm never going to get an answer back. And I said, you know, I love what you do, and I'd love to see if there's a way that we work together. Can you connect with your manager? And she connected me. And then she became the first face of Nip and Fab. And that was her first beauty campaign when she was just over 16 years.
It's amazing.
So how crazy is that? I never expected a response on that DM, but I did get it. But outside Kylie, I've met a lot of other cool people. And and also there's some stalkers too, as always.
Ah, the stalkers. I think we're kind of running out of time, so we should wrap it up. But I've got one very important question for you on social media. I mean, actually, to be honest, we could keep talking about this forever. But,
forever, yeah.
It's such a huge topic. And I'm sure people who listen to this can just get in touch and ask you something. But I want to know what you think is the key to, like, the perfect selfie.
Nothing beats a Snapchat beauty filter. And that's it.
That's cheating. Okay, fair enough. It's good advice. I'll take it. So that's all we have time for, I think. But join us after this very, very quick break to find out what we've been obsessing over this week. Thank you for listening.
Guys, welcome back.
Hi.
Hello.
So this is the section every episode in which we discuss something we've been obsessing over this week. I'll start this week. I have found this app that is basically one of my biggest problems is that I have these lovely WhatsApp groups with all my friends in them, and we spend our entire lives trying to organize a day that we can all do to like have dinner or meet up or anything like that. So there's an app basically that we just started using, and it's called Doodle.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And basically, you all just like vote on one day of the month, and then the day with the most votes, you just make that the day that you meet up. And it's like,
oh wow,
all the back and forth conversations I've had and all that time wasted. Now I've just got this way of like, oh, it's just sold everything.
Oh, I love it. It's called Doodle.
Doodle.
Okay,
yeah.
And so then anyone, how do you get people to know? So you get all your friends to sign up, and then you all vote.
Yeah.
And do you have the question in the app? So when do we go out next? Is the question there? And then you just vote on the day.
Yeah. Huh. So you title it. So it could be like, okay, holiday dates for next year. Who's free on these days? And then people can just be like, yeah, I can do that week, but I can't do that week. Or I can do this, but I can't do this. And they just literally block it out in the calendar. And then it shows you like how many people have voted for this, and then who's got the most votes. And if, you know, maybe sometimes there's one person who hasn't, you know, got into like the voting thing that everyone else has done, so they're going to get left out. But I'm sorry, it's a busy world.
It's a busy world. Say that again. Maybe we should use it for meetings in the office sometimes. That would be a really good one. Or
exactly.
If we want to have a get together with a team, that's a good one, actually. I'll make a mental note.
Yeah, so I'm very obsessed with that and I recommend it. What about you, Maria?
Since we are talking about social media and the perfect selfie, my latest obsession is a new concealer that we've launched at Rodial. It's called the Diamond Concealer, and I am just obsessed with it. I thought I was going to use it just for concealing dark circles and all that, and it's just perfect. But I've recently, that's the only thing I've been using. So I just put a little bit under my eyes, and a little my forehead, nose, and chin, and then rub. And it's like I'm wearing foundation, but I need a very little amount. And people are saying, what have you done? Did you just have a facial? Your skin looks amazing. And it's a 1 minute thing that I do, and it just saves me from applying a lot of makeup. So that's my new tip, the Rodial Diamond Concealer.
Sounds perfect. Can't wait to give that a try.
Yeah.
And anyone out there, if you want to have great skin, give that a go.
Yeah.
So that's our social media podcast over, but something that I guess we'll be talking about again in the future at some stage, because it's always going to keep changing. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks, guys. That was fun, Liv.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
If you like the Overnight Success podcast,
Please make sure you tell a friend, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to leave us a rating or comment. You can find me at Mrs. Rodia on Twitter and Instagram. This is the Overnight Success Podcast. I am Maria Hatzistefanis. See you next week.